Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. This is a good morning. The title of this message is Let Us Fellowship Part 3. Some of this is going to be redundant. Some of this is going to be different. You'll have to bear with me. I've had to make some adjustments this morning, which it's all God thing, so it's all good. Okay? But if you will, if you'd stand up, we are going to read over the same passage. You guys should have this memorized by now, I would assume. Beginning at verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day. Let's pray. Father, we've read Your Word. We pray now, Lord, that You would teach us, that You would instruct us, and that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit to teach us. Bless this time, Lord, we pray, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus told His disciples, after a long day, let us get into the boat, and let us go to the other side. Now, Jesus, being very weary, fell asleep. Meanwhile, our seasoned veterans of the Lake of Galilee, which is a pretty good-sized lake, and it's deep, but the waves became very large. And these seasoned fishermen, who knew the lake like the back of their hand, became fearful. And they woke up Jesus, and they said to Him, do You not care that we perish? When Jesus told them, let us get in the boat and go to the other side. He didn't say, let's get in the boat, and what's going to happen is going to be really cool. There's going to be a storm, right? I'm going to be asleep. I'm really not asleep, but I'm going to be asleep, okay? And then there's going to be a wave, and it's going to throw you over, and we're going to lose some of you. Oh, well! No, He said, we're going to the other side. Now, believe it or not, I like words. I do. I get, they're fascinating to me. They've always conjured pictures and images for me, so I've always enjoyed them. No, you're right, I'm not the smith of them, it's true, but I do enjoy words. And so, my hunting was, I started thinking of fellowship, and I was thinking, that's an interesting word. Where'd that come from? So, I looked into it, the Old English, and to be honest with you, it didn't tell me much. Just basically said fellow and a ship. And a ship basically was an association, if you will. So it's fellows in association with each other, like-minded. That wasn't going to do with my imagination. Not when you have a word like fellow and a word like ship. I'm thinking boat. Because that is what the word can mean too. It's an association of everybody getting into the same vessel. It's a ship. And if you will, that's the essence of fellowship. Now, it's true that the Lord has many ships, the armada, but if you will, each ship is a fellowship of believers. You and I have come into this same ship. not greater than others, maybe a different size. But see, what it has in the same vein as the others as we're traveling along together is we have the same captain. There's only one captain. But see, what's interesting about this is that he's not only the captain of the ship, he owns the ship. But see, not only is he the captain and he owns the ship, he's also the navigator and the one who knows the course that he has set. And there will be a destination. See, to all believers, not just this congregation, not just this ship, but all his amada, he says the same thing. Get inside, we're going home. Now, just like the disciples, it doesn't mean it's all smooth sailing. Storms are going to come. And they're going to affect each of us differently. But as He's called us together in the same ship, He asks of us to be not only subordinate to Him as shipmates, but also to each other. And if you will, we are in this together. And for some, I know that means that we may not understand exactly what you're going through specifically. But the captain does. Thoroughly. Whatever He asks of you, we're going to learn something this morning. He's going to give you the ability to do. And what an ability that is. And we're going to see how we all kind of join in this traveling together. And it's like I said, if you will, understand that I'm trying to navigate myself through this. But in Hebrews 24, we've talked about, let us consider one another. That word to consider, again, remember, is to have an understanding, to look intently, to see that we're in this ship together, but we all are having different difficulties. But it still affects us. Some of us are going to get sick. I remember when I was my beginnings, the Lord's calling on my life, it wasn't with adults, as a lot of you know, it was with children. I was a third grade Sunday school teacher. And it taught me a lot. I think I taught them. No, it taught me. But one thing that happened one time, because it was a large church, that they were doing some remodeling, and what happened was we all congregated into this big area. And again, it's a large church, so you're looking at about 70 to 90 third graders all in this one room. So there were several of us teachers together. Now, me being, again, relatively new at this, there were other teachers there that were a lot more seasoned than I was. And to this day, I still remember this lady who was a grandmother who just spoke to these kids with such tenderness and such sweetness and just sharing the love of Christ with them. That this one girl came up to her, and I was standing fairly close enough so I heard it all. She said, "I'm not feeling very well." She was getting seasick, if you will. And as that came out of her mouth, the next thing that came out of her mouth was evidence that she wasn't feeling very good. Now see, what was really amazing to me with this, as I watched this seasoned, if you will, shipmate, this little girl proceeded to regurgitate all over the teacher. My reaction was, oh, where's the hole? Where's the door where I'm going through? Where's the porthole I can open up and stick my face through? And she just stood there and said, oh my, yes you are sick, as there was this fluid running down her blouse. And then her first concern was her. Her. And it reminds me of the verse you find in 2 Corinthians, where Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which ourselves are comforted. See, in Hebrews, the verse that you read, it says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some. But it says, exhorting one another. And see that word, exhorting, it means to come alongside. It means to exhort, to console, to encourage, to strengthen, to comfort. See, there's times that as a body in a boat, some of us are going to get sick, either whether it's truly physically or maybe some other ailment, the heart. And see, it's not a guarantee that any of us are going to miss this experience one way or form or another. And see, what God does is, if you will, the God of all comfort, He comes alongside, because again, that's the same word. He comes alongside us to encourage us through the storm. With the wonderment of all wonder, not just for us to sense that comfort from Him, which is number one, but number two, now that I have comforted you, again, intently looking at your shipmates, there's going to be a time that I'm going to call on you to go and comfort them with the same comfort. For see, you will be my arms. You'll be the extension of my heart. So, not forsaking is the understanding of, you know what, we are in a storm. This world is in a storm, not just because of what's going on now in our country, but it's always been a storm. It's never been at peace. And it never will be until He, the Captain, comes, the King. And then there shall be peace. But in the meantime, He says, look, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to go through struggles. But look, I've called you to be a body, to be together as one, to be my body, to not shoot each other, but to fellowship and comfort one another. With the words I've comforted you, you comfort each other. And know something, I am with you always, even to the end of this ride. Always. So it's to encourage each other that, hey, we're going to make it. It would have been amazing if John would have looked at Peter and said, hey man, don't wake him up. He said we're going to the other side. Let him sleep. He's tired. We're going to make it. Because He said it. See, He who promised is faithful. We're going to make it through. Now, here's the beauty of it. Our God never slumbers nor sleeps. He's always very well aware of everything that goes on. In your life, my life, and our life. He knows what's going on. And He says, you're going to make it. Oh, you might get puked on. You might puke on others. You're going to make it. You'll be okay. But comfort each other. Encourage each other. Now, the next thing I want to draw your attention to is in 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter writes this, starting at verse 9, he says, "Be hospitable to one another. Be welcoming." See, what it means, if you will, is not just to keep our eyes on ourselves, and regardless of what we're going through, but to be welcoming to others, even in our deepest heartache. Because he goes on to say, without grumbling, you know what that means? This is amazing, really. What it means is this. Without murmuring or muttering to yourself. And really, that's what it means. It means not for me to say, yeah, come on in. Yes, yeah, slob. This means it's going to be extra work for me, I know. Wait. Take a placemat, please. And after you wash up, please wipe the sink. That's grumbling. But no, that's out loud. This means thinking it. Oh, great. Where's the mat? They didn't wipe their feet again. Look at the water spilling all over the sink. No, that's taking it to a different level. So it's understanding that it's welcoming each other, but also with the understanding of not grumbling or complaining to the Lord. That's what we do. Why do I always have to clean this person's puke up? Why do I have to do this all the time? No, see, it's without grumbling. And then Peter goes on to say, he says, as each one has received a gift, do you know that God's given you a gift? Now, if further on we'll maybe talk about what gift that could be, but you know what? I love saying this, so I will say it. Why? Because we always say, well, you have the gift of hospitality, like we just talked about. Now, if you notice, he was talking to all of us. All of us. Or you have the gift of helps. You're just always in there helping people. And we think, oh, that's what I have, is the gift of helps. No, see, it's God who's infinite, who we're going to see there's a manifold, meaning abundant amount of gifts that He gives out. And what He's saying is you have a gift. And with this gift, Peter goes on to say, serve, minister to one another as good stewards. Or, if you will, as a good steward of the gift that God has given you, which is, really, if you get down to it, His Spirit inside you, which now has opened a doorway into the manifold or variety or abundant grace of God. If anyone speaks, let them speak as it were the oracles of God, or, if you will, the utterance of God. Referring back to His Word. If anyone serves or ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory, the dominion, the power forever and ever. What it basically is saying this is, look, we're in this ship together. Let's just stay with that analogy, okay? We're in this together. Now, there's going to come times that I'm going to call upon you to do certain things in serving each other. You might not think that you have the ability. It's not about that. I'm the one that gives the ability. I supply the ability. If I tell you to do something, just do it. And believe and trust that I will give you the ability to do. Because sometimes that lady that is able to take up the puke and clean it up without barfing herself isn't going to be available. And it's going to be up to you. I got to tell you this story. I never did really give a puke. Every time I smell it, it's like right? Guess what? I'll just tell you one time, this happened many a times, but this one time was the mega one. I'm sitting there at the dining room table. The kids are in bed. And my oldest son comes out, says, I'm not feeling very good. And then he regurgitates on the floor. My wife goes, uh-uh, she's out of there. If that wasn't enough, my other son in the bedroom goes, I'm not feeling very good either. And then he regurgitates all over the sheets. And then my baby gets up and says, I'm not feeling very good either. And she pukes all over the carpet. I had to clean it all up. I was going, Mrs. Martinez, where are you now? It's called upon me to do it. You know, you might say, no, but trust me, I learned something, that I can clean up puke when love's involved. I can clean up puke when I realize something. That's those beautiful gifts. And yes, this is going through my mind. And I know it was the Lord. Those are your gifts that I gave you. Would you look at each other just for a second and understand something? You're a gift to each other. We are. We're in this boat together. Some of us are going to puke. Some of us are going to make other messes. But we're in this together. And we'll help each other clean it up. Because the ocean does get rough at times. Doesn't it? The next point I want to make is in Colossians. Paul writes, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Stop. What he's saying there is this. He's saying, be a person of the Word because I am, if you will, the Logos. I am the Word, Jesus would tell us. I'm the captain. And if you want to know the manual on serving on this vessel and the destination and everything that pertains to this vessel and outside this vessel, you must read the manual. Do not ever stop. Know richly, abundantly, let it dwell in you. Let it become not only your guiding light, but also your understanding, wisdom, and knowledge, truth. And don't ever forget something, because it'll always go back to this, I love you. Isn't that great? Now that word wisdom, if you will pertain to everything in life. To be able to go back and say, hey, you're going through this? This, it's right here. Let me quote this to you. It's all right there. You see, that's a reminder to all of us of God's goodness towards us. His truth. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Now, it's important as we have a fellowship together that we continue in His Word, because it's like I said, everything that we need to know pertaining to this life and also the divine nature that Christ has put inside each of us, His Spirit, it's all right there. And all the promises are in Him, yes and amen. So we must continue to read and teach the Word of God, whether it's here, or whether it's a small group, or whether it's the Sunday school, back to the Word. Back, there's no better place to be but in His Word. So as we're in the ship together, it's being able not only to express it in a moment and wisdom of that particular experience you're going through, but it's also to continue to remind ourselves of the teachings that we have. And comforting ourselves that we are on our way home. Fellow citizens of another place. But that's not all. It's admonishing. Exhorting. Correcting. See, it reminds me of what Paul said to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. See, He loves us so much that He came and died for us as we are. But then He loves us so much not to keep us the way we are, that we mature and grow. And part of that growth, again, comes with rubbing elbows with each other. You married people know that. It's how you grow. Together. And as a church, it's growing. Together. This is where something else more beautiful comes too. I shouldn't say more beautiful, but just it just gets better. It's just not teaching and admonishing one another in His Word, but in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing grace in your hearts to the Lord. See, it's when you read the Psalms, we've talked about this, it's the most beautiful thing, but you're going to find a common theme through the Psalms. You know what it is? I cry out. There's no hope. But there's always hope in You. I cry out. There is no hope. But there's always hope in You. Isn't that beautiful? See, when we struggle and we go through things, one of the most beautiful books you can read is the Psalms. Because God always delivers. Always. That's why we run to His strong tower. Because He preserves us from all trouble. That means He gets us through the trouble. And then He surrounds us with song of deliverance. You know, He's singing over you, right? And we continue that song. We had a message about that recently, right? The eternal song, or the never-ending song, the praise and glories to Him. And as we come together a congregate, that's what Caleb leads us into, is a reminder of this, is to sing unto Him. Even though our hearts are heavy, it reminds us of the One who is in control, the captain, the navigator, and the One who has said, we are going through this. We are going to make it. Isn't it wonderful? You've done it. I know your heart is heavy, so what do? You turn on worship music. Now, let me separate this quickly. If you notice that hymns, and hymns again, goes to what? It goes to doctrine. Listen, it goes to doctrine and displays God's goodness, God's riches, and God's truth. Those are hymns. Now, there's songs of praise, and again, what that would do be is songs that, again, that we sing praises to God. Those are good too. Now, be careful because, again, I don't mean this in such a derogatory way, but understand something. Christian music usually puts the focus on me. And at times, that's okay, but don't stay there. Because I already know I'm the problem. Or I'm going through the problems. It's just like the psalmist said. I cry out, there's trouble. I look to You. Are you with me? But see, that's what we're doing as a congregation. We're saying, hey, we do sing hymns because it's important to understand God, to see Him, the proper theology. But in seeing Him, we must also praise Him for, oh, He is so good. And as we're working on the vessel, remember how they would do it? The deck being swabbed, the old sailors would be singing their song, right? Well, that's what we're doing. We're swapping the deck and we're singing the song. Even though the ship's going like this, we're singing the song. We're going through the storm. We're going through the storm because He is greater than the storm. He walks on the water. He walks on the water. I don't even know if that's a song. I just made it up. You could use it. We're going through. we're going through. Oh, the sea monster comes up every once in a while. He wants to try to get us off the boat. You're not going to survive. You're not on this water. Get off! No, no, no. And we all remind each other, admonish each other, instruct each other. We're going through the storm. He said so. Did I tell you that He's on the boat with us? Let that sink in for a second. Now, the last point I'd like to make is found in James. Very familiar. Chapter 5, verse 16. It says, confess your trespasses to one another. Now, before you start thinking that this means just the grossness of our sin, that we're sharing with each other the darkest secrets of our lives, I want you to think again. See, that word trespass, it means to fall beside. It does mean sin, but it means a lapse, a deviation from truth and uprightness. That's what it means. It means confessing to one another the honesty of who we are. I'm not perfect. I'm struggling this week with, you fill in the blank. We all have them. Sometimes that storm becomes so ferocious that we start to murmur and complain. We begin to get upset easily and lash out at our kids or our loved ones or each other. You fill in the blank. Maybe it's the boss said something unkind and you just can't let it go. See, it's understanding, just like we talked about last week, is that, you know what? We're in this together. None of us are perfect. We're in this together. And if you notice, right after that, he says, confess, share what you're struggling with, share what you're going through, share with those little mishaps of your righteousness. And understand that because Christ has made us righteous, man. You are righteous. Now there's work to be done. And sometimes, if you will, that's why the captain allows the storms to come. Not to devastate us, and to remind us of something. Oh, how we need Him. Through the storm. And how we need each other. Through the storm. And how we gotta stop judging each other. Through the storm. So I don't know what you've gone through in your life. I don't know what's brought you to the place. But see, here's the commonality. It's not a flippant answer. Oh, no, why? Because again, it points to the captain. He'll see us through. Brother, sister, He'll see us through. Remember, He said we're going home. So it's to understand sharing of our mishaps and our sin and our struggles. But if you notice the very next thing James says, he says, and pray for one another. Don't judge, pray. Start talking to the captain. Captain, we got a problem here. One of my shipmates is struggling right now. I shared the word, but Lord, you know how that is. The word must go into the heart, and I can't do that. He must, captain. Takes it from here to there. And here is where there's power. Here's where there's fellowship when he gets it there. Here is where the comfort begins. Here is where I'm able to comfort others. It's to pray for each other. Understanding, too, that we all need prayer. We all do. Every single one of us. But one of us is definitely in need, that we lift that person up in prayer. That you may be healed or made whole. As the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I know what you're saying. You're saying that I'm not righteous. None of us are yet. We're in the ship. No, it's for fools, as the world would say. Not for you and me. You see, the captain has done something so miraculous is that the only reason why we're on that ship is that he invited us. And we accepted his clothing. See, you can't come with your clothing. You know that. It's rags. You're not good enough. You never will be. Me neither. But see, he took his flesh, the veil that separated us, and he gave his flesh for our flesh. He spilled his blood to cleanse our blood. He who was whole was broken for us, that we who are broken shall be whole. So come aboard. Get ready. Because remember, it's been said that a church is a hospital of sinners, but I like the imagery of a workshop. Because that's what he does. He goes, come in. But get ready. I'm going to work on you. I'm the great physician. And I always go for the heart. Isn't that wonderful? So it's understanding that we are in this together with Him. We are called righteous because of Him who is righteous. We are called His fellow mates because He has called us His friends. Now, in conclusion, First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, Paul writes, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice. It's so easy that we can separate, and it's true with churches everywhere, because of just simple truths that if we don't follow, then we can fall into the same trap. That is, there's only one captain here. And the captain has called us to join with him. If things need to be changed and people see that change needs to be taking place, you don't divide over it. You pray over it. That the captain again would advise, give vision, give courage, give the ability. Now, there was a time in our fellowship's history that we had a big decision to make. We had to paint some walls. There were those who decided that there needed to be color, and there was those that said, no, white is fine, that's enough. Now those that wanted the white ones just figured it was simple, plain, and cheap. The ones with color said no, it was warm, inviting. Now instead of dividing our fellowship to those that wanted colored walls and those who wanted white walls, sounds almost like tires, doesn't it? We prayed. And as we prayed, it's going to come out funny, we understood the women were right. It needed to be warm colors. And the men put up more money. No feelings hurt. Just the simple truth of letting the captain decide. And that's the way it needs to be every day. There's so much potential on the ship. Why? Not because of me, not because of Caleb, not because of you, but wherever the captain reigns. Oh, there's so much potential. Because see, the vessel is fit now for our use. But it doesn't mean it stays this way. It's changed over the years many a times. But the captain is the one who designates how wide it is, or how long, or how tall, how comfortable, how not comfortable. And we, as a group, continually seek His guidance. Not with the destination, we already know where we're going. But the route, that's His decision. The storms we may encounter, again, He's the navigator. But it's that accepting. We are in this together. Paul had some kind of an encounter like this. He was going to Rome. There was a mighty storm. The sailors wanted to jump ship. Paul basically just said, unless these men stay in the ship, they ain't going to live. Now, again, there's no fear here, but just understand, that's what happens so many times, is that people just jump ship. Instead of saying, you know what? We'll see this through. We will see this through. Because He's seeing us through this. So there's an importance of no matter what, that you continue, we continue, to comfort, to minister, to share the Word, to share our resources, to share the gift God has given to each of us. It's important that we continue to make sure that we stay on course, that He is the captain. And then when we do have problems or struggles with one another, that we go to prayer, and then we go seek reconciliation, how He sees fit. And we stay our course. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this morning. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. Let us fellowship. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Let us continue to exhort one another and help us to be there for each other. Bless, Lord, this vessel. Bless us together. And we pray that You would have Your way with us, Lord. We lift these things up to You, the captain, not only of this ship, but of our souls. The one who loves us with an unending, everlasting love. It's in Your name we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.